Can you talk a little bit about how you follow the PSA after brachytherapy and other forms of radiation therapy and what you see and how you react to changes in PSA?
With brachytherapy, because when you do a brachytherapy procedure, so for instance, iodine-125, you're placing these radioactive seeds in the prostate, they will give off radiation over about an eight-month period of time. And so a couple of things are important to know when you're following a patient. One is that it's going to take this long for the full therapy to be delivered. And the other thing is that radiation works by damaging the DNA. So the radiation from either a seed implant or external beam may damage the DNA of cells, but those cells, even though they are genetically damaged, still may make PSA. They still may make the PSA protein. And so it can take many years for the PSA following brachytherapy, for instance, to hit its nadir or its lowest point, and that could be 4 or 5 years. So I think it's very important to follow these patients very carefully, but at the same time, not to jump to any conclusions, because what we also know is that because these cells are still making PSA, and because brachytherapy can be associated with some late inflammatory reactions, that you can see transient elevations in PSA during the follow-up period. So people have termed this a PSA bounce or PSA spike. It's something that we see in about 30% of patients. And what's interesting is we see it more commonly in very good quality implants, the ones that we like to practice and that I think most of us are able to achieve now. And we see it more commonly in young men, which we're treating more of. So it's very important in a young man that you're treating to know that if a PSA goes up once or even twice, you can't jump to a conclusion, immediately start the patient on hormone therapy. You have to be patient and wait it out, because in many cases and many times these PSAs will go back down. And in terms of waiting for the lowest level, that may take 4 to 5 years.
What do you see in terms of the nadir of PSA with implants versus external beam?
Well, I think there is a difference. I think most of the patients that we treat with brachytherapy implants nadir at a level of 0.1 or less. With external beam, when you cure a patient, there's no evidence of biochemical recurrence, you still are seeing PSAs typically in the range of about 0.5 to 1. So I think there is a significant difference. I think it points to a biologic difference in terms of the biologic effective dose between an implant and external beam radiation therapy. And I think it really points to us that an implant will deliver a higher biologically effective dose than you can get with external beam at current doses that are being delivered.
You talked about high-quality implants. What defines a high-quality implant?
Well, one of the things we look at is the dose delivered to the prostate, and there's many ways of looking at it. And one of the things that we've done is look at the dose by reconstructing the prostate and doing something called the dose volume histogram, which is really looking at the whole prostate as a volume and doses delivered to percentages of that volume. And some of our early work at Mount Sinai was to define the D90, which is the dose to 90% of the gland. And then most people now appreciate that as kind of a very good way of describing the dose delivered to the prostate. And so that's one of the ways, one of the parameters, the dosing parameters that are used to look at what's considered a good quality implant. And what we think, for instance, for iodine is that you need to have doses or D90s that are over 140 gray. And for palladium, it's probably doses that are over 110 gray. And so these are the types of things that we're beginning to look at. And when I talk about quality implants, that's really what I'm referring to. Urologists are still concerned about the long-term outcomes. They're concerned about late recurrences. I don't think radiation oncologists that do it are as concerned as much, because we see the results. But that's often, when I speak to urologists, some of the common concerns about, even though we've been doing this now, people are having data approaching 15 years, it's still a very commonly asked question and concern from urologists. From radiation oncologists, I think many of them are looking at brachytherapy and perhaps comparing it to external beam. And so many of them are concerned with maybe perhaps the urinary symptoms that you get after brachytherapy, comparing it with newer modalities of external beam. And so a lot of times, especially when speaking to radiation oncologists, I focus on the importance of the technique of implantation in reducing the morbidity commonly associated with it. So I think radiation oncologists are concerned about morbidity, concerned about ways of reducing it, and there's been a lot of focus within the radiation oncology community on trying to reduce the morbidity.